Hello and welcome to day number 57 of Bible in a Year with Pastor Steve. It is such a joy to be here with each of you today, whether you are a first-time listener or someone who has been listening for quite a while. It's a joy to have all of you here, and it is my honor to bring you this podcast each day. Well, today we'll be reading from Joshua 20 through 23, Psalm number 57, and Proverb 26. But by way of this podcast, I will be reading from Joshua chapter 22 from the Webb translation. That's the World English Bible, but you are welcome to use any translation that you have on hand or find more comfortable. If you are in need of the Bible in a Year reading plan, please click that link that's in the show notes, and you can be brought to a web page where that file is downloadable or printable. It's there for you. There's also a link there to join our Facebook page dedicated to the Bible in a Year reading plan. I hope that you would consider joining that group and bringing your questions and insights so that we can grow together as a community. If you are enjoying this Bible in a Year reading plan, I invite you to click like and subscribe on your listening platform of choice, as that helps the podcast get seen in search results and will help us help other people build this holy habit of reading the Bible each and every day. So friends, without further ado, let's jump right into God's Word together. Joshua chapter 22. Then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, "You have kept all that Moses, the servant of Yahweh, commanded you, and have listened to my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brothers these many days to this day, but have performed the duty of the commandment of Yahweh your God. Now Yahweh your God has given rest to your brothers as he spoke to them. Therefore now return and go to your tents, to the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of Yahweh gave you beyond the Jordan. Only take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses the servant of Yahweh commanded you, to love Yahweh your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Now to the one half tribe of Manasseh Moses had given inheritance in Bashan, but Joshua gave to the other half among their brothers beyond the Jordan westward. Moreover, when Joshua sent them away to their tents, he blessed them and spoke to them, saying, "Return with much wealth to your tents, with very much livestock, with silver, with gold, with bronze, with iron, and with very much clothing. Divide the plunder of your enemies with your brothers." The children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go to the land of Gilead, to the land of their possession, which they owned, according to the commandment of Yahweh by Moses. When they came to the region near the Jordan that is in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, and a great altar to look at. The children of Israel heard this. "Behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar along the border of the land of Canaan, in the region around the Jordan, on the side that belongs to the children of Israel." When the children of Israel heard it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up against them to war. The children of Israel sent to the children of Reuben and to the children of Gad and to the half-tribe of Manasseh into the land of Gilead Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest. With him were 10 princes, one prince of a father's house for each of the tribes of Israel. And they were each head of their father's houses among the thousands of Israel. They came to the children of Reuben and to the children of Gad and to the half-tribe of Manasseh to the land of Gilead and spoke with them, saying, "The whole congregation of Yahweh says, 'What trespass is this that you have committed against the God of Israel to turn away from following Yahweh, in that you have built yourselves an altar to rebel today against Yahweh?' Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we have not cleansed ourselves to this day? Although there came a plague on the congregation of Yahweh, that you must turn away today from following Yahweh? It will be, since you rebel against Yahweh, that tomorrow he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel. However, if the land of your possession is unclean, then pass over to the land of the possession of Yahweh, in which Yahweh's tabernacle dwells, and take possession among us, but don't rebel against Yahweh, nor rebel against us, in building an altar other than Yahweh our God's altar. Didn't Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the devoted things, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel? That man didn't perish alone in his iniquity. Then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and spoke to the heads of the thousands of Israel, "The Mighty One, God, Yahweh, the Mighty One, God, Yahweh, he knows, and Israel shall know. If it was in rebellion or if in trespass against Yahweh, don't save us today, that we have built us an altar to turn away from following Yahweh. Or if to offer burnt offering or meal offering, or if to offer sacrifices of peace offerings, let Yahweh himself require it. If we have not out of concern done this, and for a reason saying, in time to come, your children might speak to our children saying, what have you to do with Yahweh, the God of Israel? For Yahweh has made the Jordan a border between us and you. You children of Reuben and children of Gad, you have no portion in Yahweh. So your children might make our children cease from fearing Yahweh. Therefore, we said, let's now prepare to build ourselves an altar, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifice, but it will be a witness between us and you and between our generations after us, that we may perform the service of Yahweh before him with our burnt offerings, with our sacrifices, and with our peace offerings, that your children may not tell our children in time to come, you have no portion in Yahweh. Therefore, we said, it shall be when they tell us or our generations this in time to come, that we shall say, behold, the pattern of Yahweh's altar, which our fathers made, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice, but it is a witness between us and you. Far be it from us that we should rebel against Yahweh and turn away from following Yahweh, to build an altar for burnt offering, for meal offering, or for the sacrifice besides Yahweh, our God's altar, that is before his tabernacle. When Phinehas, the priest, and the princes of the congregation, even the heads of the thousands of Israel that were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spoke, it pleased them well. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and to the children of Manasseh, today we know that Yahweh is among us because you have not committed this trespass against Yahweh. Now you have delivered the children of Israel out of Yahweh's hand. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the princes returned from the children of Reuben and from the children of Gad out of the land of Gilead to the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought them word again. The thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God, and spoke no more of going up against them to war, to destroy the land in which the children of Reuben and the children of Gad lived. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad named the altar, a witness between us that Yahweh is God. Gracious and eternal God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for this time together in your word. We pray that you would send forth your Spirit to illuminate these words, that we might find truth and insight, and so that you might help direct our steps, so that we might ultimately glorify you with our lives. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our mighty Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, friends, if you remember, in the book of Deuteronomy, which preceded this book of Joshua, there were three tribes, or two and a half tribes, if you want to put it that way, the tribe of Gad, the tribe of Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, that asked to settle on the east side of the Jordan and to not cross over and settle in the Promised Land because they had so many possessions and cattle and livestock that they believed that they would be best suited in that land just outside of the Promised Land. And so Moses made provision that they could do this. God seemed to be okay with it as well, as long as they helped in the conquest, the initial conquest that helped establish the people, the remaining tribes on the Promised Land side, the west side of the Jordan. And so that promise was fulfilled, and Joshua was ready to send them off with a blessing to settle on the east side of the Jordan River. And so he blessed them and reminded them, even though you're living on the periphery here from the rest of us in the Promised Land, that you need to follow God's word and commandments so that you remain in right standing with God. Joshua was acknowledging that there would be temptation due to this separation from the main community, that they might develop their own identity outside of the worship of Yahweh in the Promised Land. And so later on, we read in this chapter that they built an altar. If you remember when Moses was up on Mount Sinai and he received the law, the Ten Commandments, and he came back down, and Aaron and the people of Israel became impatient and they built an altar and a god out of gold for themselves because they were worried that Moses wouldn't come back. Well, I believe that this is what Joshua was fearing in his mind when he heard what had happened here with this altar being built. And the people of Israel were very concerned. They knew that in the past, when someone transgressed God within their community, the whole community experienced the pain that went along with that trespass or sin. So they were very concerned that there was this, they called it the altar of rebellion. So they sent a contingent of people to go over there and see what was going on. But these tribes assured them that this was built just to be a replica and to be a witness that they are part of the community. They called it a witness between us that Yahweh is God. This was the name of the altar. What's interesting also is that in verse 25, they said, "We did this because the Lord has made the Jordan a boundary between us." If you recall, it was them who requested that this barrier be set up. It wasn't God's will. It was theirs. It's interesting that God did allow them to have this provision to settle on the east side of the Jordan, and we see that God still blessed them with provisions of the Levites being there and sanctuary cities and all of that, so that there would be somewhat of a unity held together between the Promised Land and this little settlement outside of the Promised Land. Yet living on the periphery is never a good thing, especially long term. If you trace these tribes through the rest of the Hebrew Bible, you'll see that they kind of fade out of focus a bit. In fact, when they came under attack, when Israel was kind of subdivided up by the people who were oppressing them and taking them into captivity, they were amongst the first to go. There's something about living in the community, of being a true unity of people. This is rooted in the fact that our God is three persons in one. The Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live in perfect community and unity with one another. And when we were created as God's image bearers, we too were designed for community, community with God and with each other. And whenever there is this separation from community, there are negative things that typically come along with it. In fact, today, the Surgeon General of this country has named that there is an epidemic. That epidemic is one of isolation and loneliness. There is community that exists, especially in the church, that people ought to get connected with. Because when we worship in spirit and truth and we enjoy that community, that bond of the Holy Spirit that gathers us all together as the church, we thrive. We bear one another's burdens, we grow with one another, we share in joys, and we can worship God more powerfully, and we can certainly do more together. Part of our rhythm as a community of believers is coming together for worship on Sunday, the Lord's Day. But we also, at the end of that worship service, in the benediction and the sending, we acknowledge that we are scattering back out into the world. But we need that rhythm of coming and going, gathering and scattering, because it empowers us to remain in a unity beyond the walls of the church, to come up against the powers and the structures and institutions and the circumstances of people who need help beyond the walls. We can do more together. Now, as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, most churches today offer a hybrid worship. That means that there are people gathering within the church on Sunday morning, and that there's typically a live stream of that worship service, or there is a standalone package worship service that is aired around the same time. I believe that this is a good thing, especially for those who are traveling or who are sick, and it's a better steward of your health if you were to stay home and worship and still feel a part of the community. But in the long run, I believe, if possible, if you are able, that the best way to be a part of the community is to be there in the presence of each other. There is something more powerful in that gathering than there is just online. So friends, if you are looking to become part of a community, I encourage you to check out a church this Sunday. There are many resources online. You can do a quick Google search for churches in your area. Find a church that you feel that you would be best suited for and go there. If there is a live and vibrant community of believers, you should be able to sense that once you cross the threshold of the doors into the lobby or into the sanctuary. If it is stale and no one greets you, I would recommend that you find a church that has that community feel, where there is hospitality, there is gentleness, there is preaching from the Bible, and of course, hymns and songs, maybe it's contemporary Christian music, whatever. As long as worship is happening in a healthy and thriving community, that is where you want to be. So I encourage you to check that out for yourself this weekend. And if you have any questions and you want to reach out to me, you can do so. When you click that link that's in the show notes, you can scroll to the bottom and find a place where it says contact, and just write me a little note and I will try to help you out to the best of my ability to find a good church match. Well, friends, I hope that you have a great rest of your day, and I look forward to seeing you back tomorrow. But until then, God bless.